And now, broadcasting from the kingdom of Blaine Guy, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program, focusing on the many mysteries of our world. Here is your host, Junior Miller.
Well, hello. It is 7 o'clock, and greetings, fellow mates on this big blue marble, fellow lings of Earth or beyond. This is a special edition of Junior Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Marconi-nominated broadcaster Junior Miller. Pour yourself a colortini and sit back and enjoy the program. This is a show for the enlightened, for those who know that there is a reality in the paranormal, a reality in the supernatural. We here at Coast to Coast know of the third and fourth worlds, and tonight we will explore everything that is going on outside of the one world that most of us just blindly wander through on a day-to-day basis. This program looks at space travel and time travel, ghosts and shadow people, mythical creatures, or are they? We don't ask the question why, we ask the question why not? And I'm really excited about this show. Coming up at 7:15, I want you to be with us because we are going to be joined by a very special guest. I worked extremely hard to line this guy up. It is someone who I believe is responsible for the disappearance of Malaysian Air Flight 370. If you can believe it, we are approaching the one-year anniversary of the plane vanishing into thin air, and I think we're going to get the real story coming up shortly. At least, I aim to get the real story from our guest. But first up tonight, an update on an old friend. Most who listen to this program know that the Earth is full of creatures, large and small, humans, dogs, cats, get that cat out of here, and monsters. Although I think it's unfair to call Nessie a monster, those who doubt the existence of the Loch Ness Monster are, in my opinion, idiots. I said it, and I stand by it. We've all seen the photograph of her poking her head above the surface of Loch Ness. It's a photo of her. What more evidence does one need? And now, with a Nessie update, a report filed by a correspondent of unknown origin.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water. Sir Court Godfrey of the Nessie Alliance summoned the help of Scotland's local wizards to cast a protective spell over the lake and its local residents and all those who seek for the peaceful existence of our underwater ally.
Let's notice the code word esplaced being used. Clearly, the Japanese scientists working through this reporter to send a message to those who perhaps have an interest in either helping Nessie, hurting her, or locating her. They were unable to slip it by us, though. And we've got Nessie news from Great Britain, dateline February 5th. 7 days ago, a mysterious sea creature was photographed swimming against the current on the Devonshire coastline. Shocked bystanders spotted the unusual animal about a half mile offshore in Plymouth Sound. A Mr. Alan Jones was among those taking snapshots of the bizarre creature, which he said resembled a huge crocodile. Now, I think we all know there are no crocodiles in the North Atlantic. So that would lead you to the next step. That was Nessie. Mr. Jones said it must have been 20 feet long. Clearly it was just the spine of Nessie, perhaps the top of her head, because we all know Nessie is a much greater size. There were other people, they say, asking him, Mr. Jones, if he could tell what it was because it looked so unusual. He said, I've never seen anything like it. The first thing that struck me was that it looked like a huge crocodile. The creature moved in circles, appeared to curve its shape, and then moved a considerable distance from left to right. It turned, and then it moved back the other way. And then it disappeared. Now you can see the photographs that Mr. Jones was able to snap. So we have the original and famous photograph of Nessie. We have these new photographs that Mr. Jones snapped. What more evidence do we need? Well, weeks ago, on another stretch of water, there was another Nessie sighting. And this particular individual videotaped the entire encounter. Footage shows a shadowy figure briefly emerging from the depths of Loch Ness, and then it disappears again into the choppy water. This was about 500 feet from the shore of the lake, and it was captured by a Mr. Richard Collins, who seems like a pretty credible person to me. He counts himself among the cynics of the Loch Ness Monster, but now, after seeing it and after taping his experience, he believes in Nessie. Quote, as I was watching, I was thinking, what the hell is that? I don't really believe in anything like that, but now I do. I'm not saying it was a fire-breathing dragon and I never saw teeth or anything like that, but I must have thought there was something there if I stopped to take the pictures. His wife was also there. She witnessed it. Two witnesses weeks ago at Loch Ness. A recent witness 5 days ago, not really at the lake, but close by. And countless witnesses over the years. If you are listening to this and you still don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster, I don't know. All right. Later in the program, we're going to get into alien abduction and time travel. I have found a portal here in North Texas that I will tell you all about. But coming up next, we explore the disappearance of Malaysian Air Flight 370, and we bring you the most exclusive interview ever heard.
Broadcasting from the Kingdom of Blaine Guy, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program, focusing on the many mysteries of our world. Here is your host, Junior Miller.
Well, so happy everybody is with us here on this really mysterious Thursday evening. This is one of the most mysterious nights I can ever remember, and we have reconvened Junior Coast to Coast. Coming up later in the program, we're going to talk about alien abduction. We're also going to talk about time travel, because I have discovered a portal right here in our own backyard that will facilitate time travel. You will not want to miss this segment. One story that I've been interested in, and that I cannot believe is almost 1 year old, is the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. The plane disappeared on March 8th of last year. Interestingly enough, it was a Saturday. Now, we have been told by world leaders that the plane crashed into the China Sea. And if you believe that, then I've got some swampland in Florida that I'd like to sell you. We've been told that all passengers have gone missing. And if you believe that, you probably also believe that wolverines make good house pets. I have long suspected that that plane is still with us somewhere, and it has not been blown apart. I have long suspected that the people aboard that plane are still alive, and I have long suspected that aliens took this spacecraft, took their spacecraft, captured our aircraft, and took it somewhere for observation. But I cannot confirm my suspicions. However, joining us now on the wild card line, and this is a great get for this program, is the leader of the Martian people, Belzar. Good evening, Belzar. I guess I would say good evening, but I'm not really sure if it's morning or evening right now where you are on Mars.
We do not have morning or evening on my planet. We have only interstellar standard time. We have clocks, but they feature just one number, and therefore time never changes.
Well, okay, even though you don't have time, we thank you for yours. And I wondered if you'd be willing to do an interview with someone from Earth, so we are very, very grateful.
Don't mention it, home slice. There, did the use of that term endear me to your listeners?
Well, I don't really think that's necessary. You don't have to dress it up like that.
I am a big fan of your parking ticket. I listen all the time on my shortwave radio.
I'm sorry, did you say parking ticket?
My bad. That is what we call a radio show on Mars, a parking ticket. We have many different terms than you have on Earth.
Okay, so what do you call a parking ticket?
A kick drum.
Okay, I see. I take it English isn't your first language on Mars?
No. Actually, we speak Portuguese. Weird how that happened. Many years ago, we focused on Brazil in order to study human beings. I think because of the bikinis in Rio. Anyway, long story short, we fell in love with the Brazilian culture, the food, the soccer, to a lesser extent, the basketball, although one of the most popular athletes on our planet is Thiago Splitter. So for a long period of interstellar time, everyone on Mars wanted to be Brazilian, a long enough period where the official language of the planet changed to Portuguese, but I will speak English for this interview.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate you speaking English for us. Has any of our American culture influenced your planet at all, or just Brazilian?
No music, no literature, no dance, just one television program. For the last 17 Martics, the number one television program on Mars has been The Jeffersons. We are not prone to laughter, but that show, man, that show gets me. When Mr. Bentley has to ask Mr. J to walk on his back, man, that cracks my ass up every time.
Okay, well, I'm sure it does. I'm glad you have a little influence from the United States. But Belzar, while we appreciate your time, we have very serious business to talk about. Malaysian Air Flight 370 disappeared over the South China Sea almost 1 year ago, still missing. Governments here on Earth would have us believe that it crashed into the ocean. However, not a single nut or bolt has been found, and there are many who believe that something else happened to the plane, something world leaders don't want us to know about, because they're afraid the truth will panic the masses. So I am here to ask you directly, because I've always suspected your people. Belzar, do you know anything about the disappearance of Flight 370?
I will not answer in absolutes. However, if my people were interested in that flight, it would have been easy for us to assume the craft.
What does that mean? What does assume the craft mean?
We could assume it. We could make it ours. I will not deny that we have interest in your aircraft, despite the fact that we have spacecraft that can travel at 10 times the speed of sound and can travel across the Milky Way in no time. We have always been fascinated with your airplanes. We never had airplanes on Mars. We went straight from the Model T to spaceships. So, I hypothetically could command 7 of my space modules to surround the plane, and they could trap the plane in a giant web of really sticky stuff. We could then assume the plane and return to Mars, and where there we would examine it further. For our cause.
Okay. So I guess we're going to have to speak in hypotheticals. Hypothetically, if you did that, What would happen to the passengers and the crew?
If we did this, and I'm not saying we did, we would make sure that the Earthlings would be safe.
How?
They would be unable to return to Earth because of what we call the intermolecular transformation and decompression process. However, we would give them all good jobs on our planet. They would earn something like 3 million Marsecs a year, doing very little as compensation for not being able to return to Earth. They would live in nice neighborhoods. They would, as we say, be living the Martian dream.
Okay, Belzar, I don't know what to do with this information because I think you assumed the plane, to use your term. And it sounds like you've thought it through, but you are saying for the record that you did not? Belzar? Can I get you on the record? Did you or did you not assume Malaysian Airlines Flight 370?
I am being told by my PR people to give you no further comment. They are telling me this was a bad idea. They are telling me that you can only ask me sports questions from here on out. I think Monte Ellis is a badass, but his defense ain't that great. What do you think?
Well, I don't really want to talk about Monte Ellis with you.
I must go. I must go. End of transmission. End of transmission. End of transmission.
Okay, well, I guess we've lost Belzar. But I think we learned a great deal in that interview. By the way, thanks to Fernando for tracking down Belzar's PR people and getting him on tonight. But I think now, if you've been listening to this show, you know that we have confirmed intelligent life on Mars. Our government would always have you believe that there is none, that all they do is send a rover to Mars, they take a couple of pictures, and they draw massive conclusions. Oh, look, here's a rock. Oh, look, here's a desert. Well, okay, yeah, we see one little square foot of Mars, and then they tell us there is no intelligent life there. But you know what I've always said? Why not just pick up the phone and call? And that's exactly what we have done tonight here on Coast to Coast. And I can't wait to hear how world leaders will try to spin this. We didn't get Belzar on the record, but I think anybody who heard that interview now strongly suspects the Martian people. It is 7:24 here on The Ticket. And coming up next, we are going to talk about alien abduction and time travel.
Broadcasting from the Kingdom of Blaine Guy, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program, focusing on the many mysteries of our world. Here is your host, Junior Miller.
Well, we're still trying to recover from that last segment and that exclusive interview with Belzar. I think he was telling us to read between the lines, which I think we all can. We're going to talk more about alien abduction later in the program. In fact, later in this segment, we will take your phone calls on either the east of the Rockies line, west of the Rockies line, or the wildcard line. And I want to limit the conversation in this segment, at least, to either alien abduction or time travel. If you want to talk about Sasquatch, Nessie, any other creatures, we can do that maybe later in the program. If you want to talk about ghosts, we can do that later in the program. But I want to talk about either alien abduction or time travel because I have some exciting time travel news. I've been working with a scientist. He must remain nameless. And the possibilities of originating time travel from here in North Texas are very, very real. In fact, we've got some big news. We have discovered a time travel portal right here in our own backyard. In fact, it is actually in somebody's backyard in Garland. Now, unfortunately, I cannot disclose the exact location because it would be far too dangerous for every Tom, Harry, Dick, and Jane to go running into this portal without the proper education. And then what? You find yourselves suddenly in the Roman Colosseum in 150 AD fighting off a lion or a gladiator. I think we all know you would have no chance. So the location must remain secret. In fact, only three people know of the location. Myself, the unnamed scientist, and Cowboys guard Ron Leary. But do not try to get it out of him, David Moore, because we have all taken a blood oath and our lips are sealed. So we will take this information to the grave if necessary. So once we get it dialed in, the question is, where do you want to go? Do you want to go for a walk in the park with Socrates? Do you want to go sail the Atlantic with Columbus? Or do you just want to go back a couple of weeks to Lambeau and try to alter the Dez non-catch ruling? You've got so many choices. But what people don't understand about time travel is that you have to be very, very, very careful. Because if you change the course of history, then when you return through the portal, you may not exist. The world may not exist. Except if you just do the Dez thing, that's a couple of weeks, that's not a big deal. But if you do something big, go way back in time, you don't know how one small movement could alter the course of humanity. So here we are with this opportunity to land somewhere between reality and non-reality. Between void and non-void. Between sense and nonsense. And it is fascinating to have this ability at our fingertips. Have I used this portal? Yes, I have. I have gone both backwards and forwards in time. And let me tell you, the future is crazy wild. The past you know all about. It's been written about. But the future is nuts. But that's all I can say. Now, I know we hear from people time to time talking about time traveling, and they've experienced this, and going through a portal in a backyard in Garland is not the only way to time travel. So if you have perhaps experienced time travel, we welcome your calls. Also, any alien abduction stories, we always welcome those, and we have a couple news stories that have hit the wires recently that we're going to get to momentarily. But we will work in some phone calls here in this segment if you would like. And why don't we start here if we've got a couple lined up. Let's go to the east of the Rockies line. Good evening. You are on Junior Coast to Coast. How are you?
Hi, Junes. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Hey, I love listening to you. I've always been a skeptic, but every time I listen to your show, I come around closer to being my gayness. But I'm curious, with aliens, I've always been a skeptic, and this is why. Why are they so interested in us? I mean, it's kind of obnoxious and arrogant to think that we're interesting enough for them to come see us. Why would they come visit us? I don't understand.
Well, you don't think we are an interesting people?
I just don't think we're interesting enough to people that have the capability of, you know, time travel and warp drive and all of that. I mean, we're so busy, you know, watching sports and doing all other kinds of things. I just don't believe that we would be that interesting to somebody that's capable of basically visiting the entire universe and seeing all the wonders.
Well, let me ask you a question. At some point in your life, have you been interested in a roly-poly or an ant or a spider? Yes or no? Just a simple yes or no?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that is what the aliens may be going through. We are a highly developed species. The human being. We have intelligence, at least we think we do. But yet we have interest in the roly-poly, or the ant, or something that is so relatively insignificant. Well, why do we have that interest? Because we have an interest in everything. So you can see where someone from Mars, or Jupiter, or further out in the galaxy would have an interest in us, even if we are far beneath them.
You know, that's actually a really good point. I never actually really thought about that.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could enlighten you. Let's go to the wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yes, Junior, thank you for your courage.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to say there's another place for time travel in Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's related to all of these earthquakes. Where Texas Stadium was is the epicenter of these earthquakes. And if you remember the game where Terrell Owens got knocked off the star, and then where Emmitt went and slammed the ball down at the middle of the field with such force, it caused an opening in the time travel continuum where if you stand in that point during one of these earthquakes, you can be transported to any time in history.
Not that I doubt your story, but why would it take so long from the time Emmitt slammed the ball down to the time we first experienced all these quakes?
Well, Emmitt put a small crack in it, and I believe George Dunham will confirm this. The fracking and injecting the water back in helped open up this portal. It usually takes thousands of years when you have a smash like Emmitt put down on the ground, but this has actually sped things up. It hasn't been a long time. It has actually been accelerated.
So it's a combination of Emmitt and fracking.
That is correct.
You know what? I buy that. I think that's believable. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. West of the Rockies? All right, let's try East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast.
Junes?
Yes.
Thanks for the courage and for taking on these topics. And I think, first of all, if anybody doesn't believe that the Malaysian Airlines were abducted by aliens, they're a bunch of turkey sandwiches, if you ask me.
I agree.
But I wanted to share a quick story about alien abduction that I experienced, if you don't mind.
Please.
I grew up out in Springtown. You may have heard of it. But my father was teaching me to drive a tractor one evening, and all of a sudden we saw a flash of light. And next thing you know, we are in some unknown space. And we see a shadowy figure come out, and he introduces himself as Belzar, which it was interesting that you interviewed him.
I don't believe it. We just had him on.
Listen to this. So as I go up to meet him, I get distracted. And when I turn around, not only has he shaken my dad's hand, but he'd also lanced him in the neck with a pitchfork.
Uh-oh. I don't believe Belzar would do that. I think you're making this story up. Because as far as we know, the Martian people are not a violent people.
Well, I was probed after that, so...
Get off this radio program. I think you're making that up. In fact, I read a pretty interesting article recently because a lot of people who do not believe that we are visited daily, hourly, every second by aliens, they ask the same question. Why don't the aliens reveal themselves to us? Well, this is one man's opinion, but it makes sense. He says, first of all, we have been in a perpetual war for most of our existence, if not all of it, some of which has been quite horrific. When you look at the numbers from World War I and World War II, all the deaths over centuries and centuries of fighting on this earth. Well, if you are someone coming from another planet, let's just say Mars, where as far as we know, things are very peaceful, what do you think of it? Why would you reveal yourself to us, this unbelievably violent species? In fact, a good friend of this program, the noted actor Dan Aykroyd, had this quote once. Aliens do not make contact with us because we are a violent species. They don't want anything to do with us. They watch us. They were two white orbs over New Jersey when the tragedy of all tragedies happened on 9/11. Can you imagine what was going through their advanced minds when they saw 9/11, these humans crashing our highest evolution in aviation into our highest evolution in architecture, like kids wrecking toys in a sandbox? They are disgusted with us, and rightfully so, because we are a violent people. So that's one reason. Another hypothesis is that the Earth's environment may not be suitable for them. Too little or too much gravity, radiation, not the right air or air quality, who really knows, but perhaps that's why. In conclusion, this man writes that we are seen as a greedy, dangerous, unbalanced race who love war, are short-sighted enough to destroy our own planet, knowingly and would freak out and come unglued in more ways than one if aliens announced their official existence. And now you wonder why they don't show themselves? Wildcard line, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
June.
Yes.
June, this is more of a question about time travel, if you don't mind indulging me.
Please.
Now, are you telling me that if I were to go back into time, I could alter history? And by alter history, I could influence whether Rod Carew went from a normal run-of-the-mill 1960s Cuban haircut to his 1980s Jerry curl?
If that was your goal for going back in time, which I must say your bar is really low, then yes, you could influence that. You could, now, knowing the course of history, you would know where Rod Carew was going to play the majority of his years with the Minnesota Twins, a lot of batting titles there, but then later, similar success with the Angels. And you could establish, oh, I don't know, a barber shop or a salon in his neighborhood. You could meet him. You could court him, you know, in a business sense, not a romantic sense, although you could do that if you want. And you could get him to basically be a client of yours, and you could definitely impact his hairstyle. I have no question about that.
Junes, thank you so much. This really does a lot for me in terms of shaping the world in terms of hair fashion.
Yeah, okay, thank you. It is 7:45 here on the ticket. Coming up next, more of your phone calls. I want to stay on time travel or alien abduction. And we have some crazy stories in the news this week about alien abduction here on Earth.
Is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program, focusing on the many mysteries of our world. Once again, here is your host, Junior Miller.
Well, we are having an interesting show this evening, aren't we? We proved the existence of Nessie in segment number one. We had a visit with Belzar, the leader of the Martian people, in segment number two. We didn't get him to say what I wanted him to say, that they assumed Malaysian Air Flight 370, but I think we know the truth after listening to him. And in segment number three, we heard some interesting stories from some of our listeners. And before we return to the phones, and again, this segment I'd like to keep it either alien abduction or time travel. I do have a story from the Alien Abduction Conference. Now, about 100 people attend this conference each year, and someone who recently attended is 67-year-old Hillary Porter, and she told some pretty incredible stories. She says she is a sane, together person, and we have no reason to doubt that. This is what she said, quote, "I have been an alien abductee all of my life. I didn't choose this life. I didn't ask for any of this, but it has been happening for as long as I can remember." The first close encounter she recalls came when she was 5 and playing in the long grass in a field behind her home. She says, quote, "Suddenly there was a reptilian alien in front of me. It had scaly skin, black holes, and a little mouth. It wasn't tall, maybe 5 feet, but it was very strong. It grabbed my arms and pulled me towards a disc in a depression in the field. It dragged me underneath into a lift, and the door slid closed. The next thing I knew, I was in a room with consoles and colored lights and little figures moving around. I was stripped and thrown on some sort of bed. They took a really horrible sharp instrument and they were pressing it right all the way up my body while I was screaming. She says she can't remember anything after that. She believes this was not the first time, and certainly not the only time in her life, that aliens have abducted her and probed her. She is sure she was abducted while driving near Cardiff in the 1970s, this time by a hexagonal spacecraft. While she was hanging out bunting at a charity event, another spacecraft approached her years later. And all of her experiences have a common thread. Afterwards, she says she suffers migraines and feels very ill. Sometimes she will wake up with bruises. And I've seen a picture of her. Now, I don't understand why the aliens would want to probe her or really learn anything about her, but, you know, we're not aliens. We don't know what they're thinking. She says that she's got a metal implant in her ear as well. And some people have said that's just wax. You just got to dig it out of there, but she believes that they have chipped her as we would an animal. Sorry about that. They have chipped this human being, and so they are tracking her every move. So hang in there, Hillary Porter, a 67-year-old who has had multiple experiences. And I know some of our listeners have had multiple experiences. All it takes is one to change your life forever. West of the Rockies, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Yes, Junior, do you have me?
Yes. It's a phone. It's not that big a deal.
Thank you for having the courage to take my call and providing a platform. I had a time travel experience about a month and a half ago.
Interesting.
We were leaving a wedding reception at the, I believe it's called the Filter Building over near White Rock Lake. And so I'm not very familiar with the area, so I was driving home and all of a sudden my GPS started to go out and I started getting lost. And all of a sudden it was like my car had hit a vortex and I was able to travel all the way across the lake to another point in which once I came out of the hole, the wormhole, I guess, I noticed there was a lady in white. Have you ever heard of a lady in white at the White Rock Lake? I believe it's a story, but anyways, she looked like she had been in the lake, and so I went to go help her, and once I turned around, it wasn't the lady in white at all. It appeared to be Bruce Jenner, but, you know, he's a guy, and he, you know, his hair was long, but, you know, I didn't know if possibly when I went through that hole that he was a man at one point, and then when I came out, he was some kind of transsexual. It was very, very disturbing, and this is the first time I've been able to bring this up to somebody.
Well,
I wonder if your thoughts of, you know, how that, what happened there, you know?
First of all, thank you for your courage, because I know you're afraid to share the story because you think people will make fun of you, but we don't make fun of people on this program. Secondly, you have just blown my mind, mister. Wow, what a story. Now, at first, I was a little worried because it sounded like you were combining time travel with the legend of the Lady of the Lake story, and that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But the Bruce Jenner element, wow, now we've got something. So are you thinking you traveled forward in time and saw Lady Jenner?
I want to say that because, you know, it almost, when you say you go forward in time at the same time, so you're actually in the present, but to switch from two different points within nanoseconds, you know, I believe that when I came out on the other side, you know, possibly, and here's the thing I thought about this, Junes, and you think about this. If you had those daughters in your house and in your life all the time, wouldn't you want to do the same thing? But that's, you know, that's a topic for another day. But
Yeah, I don't understand where you're going with that, but let's think about this. Bruce Jenner, as a child, as an adolescent, as a young adult, possible that he found his own time portal, went forward, and saw himself as a woman, and that is when he got the idea, follow me here, I know this is mind-blowing, that's when he got the idea to become a woman, that without time travel, the seed is never planted. Perhaps the urge is never there. And perhaps it is now, today, not the biggest story in the world, outside of ISIS and some other stuff. But you know what I mean. Perhaps time travel is why America's gold medal decathlete is now a woman. Wow. Man. How do you sleep after that story? East of the Rockies, you're on Junior Coast to Coast. East of the Rockies?
Do you read me?
You don't have to say that. Yes, I hear you.
Junes, I'm sorry. I thought I was calling in from the on top of the Rockies line. But I would like to clear up some things about the previous gentleman's call.
Please.
It's well established that Bruce Jenner is becoming a woman. And as Belzar pretty much admitted earlier in the show, it's well established that the Martians assumed Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. But what most people don't know is how those two are connected.
Hmm.
And I'll have you know that the information I'm about to give you comes on firsthand authority. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid who's going with the girl who saw Bruce Jenner at 31 Flavors last night.
I'm
so
following.
It's serious. Bruce Jenner was actually on Malaysian Air Flight 370.
Oh,
now. It was assumed by
now, the hold on. Now, hold on.
Junes?
If this were true.
You heard my source.
If somebody of that notoriety, that level of fame, had booked a ticket and was on that flight, we would all know about it. Now, I'm not completely doubting your story. I'm just saying we would know about it.
Well, there's an explanation for that, Junes. He booked it under his female name.
Which is?
Well, we don't know that yet because it was booked in the future.
Ooh. Nice twist. All right. That is the first thing that I've heard this evening that I find hard to believe. In fact, and I hate to doubt anybody who calls because I feel like our listening audience is really on top of it, quite sane. That is the first call that I'm going to go out on the limb and say that I do not believe. Let's see where we go from here to the wild card line. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. I'm just a little curious how someone in your position got to where you are, because anyone with any amount of intelligence or any amount of rational thinking would know that everything that you spoke about Nessie earlier was completely untrue. Anybody with any amount of intelligence knows that Nessie was perpetrated by our own government.
I'm not sure about that last point. By the way, why do all the callers sound exactly the same? They all have the same voice. They're not. I know these are different calls from different people, but they all just kind of sound like the same guy that you might have seen on the movie Idiocracy. Anyway, I don't know where that guy was going. He was a truther, I guess. So a conspiracy theorist. Fine, we welcome you to the program. I myself am a conspiracy theorist. But there's no need to get ugly. All right, we have many more calls waiting. We have other stories of alien abduction. And coming up next, we will touch on a topic that I know a lot of people enjoy, Bigfoot.
Broadcasting from the Kingdom of Blaine Guy, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program, focusing on the many mysteries of our world. Once again, here is your host, Junior Miller.
Well, to say the least, this has been a lively show. It's 8:13 here on the ticket, and this is Coast to Coast. We have talked about Nessie. We have talked about the abduction of Malaysian Air Flight 370, other alien abduction stories. I wanted to get into Bigfoot in this segment, and this is the great thing about this program. You never know when someone's just going to pop in with a story of their own. And what I think this program does is it encourages people who have been keeping something that they think is maybe a little embarrassing. They keep it bottled up. We give them the forum to come forward, share the story of alien abduction, share the story of time traveling, share the story of an encounter with everybody else who's listening, who's a part of our family. And joining us from next door, from KSCS Morning Show, used to be with Terry Dorsey, but he ran him off. It's Hawkeye Lewis. Hi, Hawkeye. How are you? Yeah, you need to turn
there.
That
we
on.
Go.
Do you know how to work a mic?
Yes. Yeah, we don't have to work our own over there, so I don't know.
So you're on your way to the Bob Seger concert next door.
Exactly, and I was tuned in as I always am every night, Junior Coast to Coast. And I thought, you know what, maybe it is time to kind of share this story, kind of keeping it under wraps. I'll just tell you a little family history. My dad was an Air Force officer stationed for his final assignment at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio. A security police squadron. That's where the academy is. But you may not know that there are many Air Force facilities in San Antonio. There's Kelly Field, which is now closed, and there was another Brooke Air Force Base, which is used as a medical post for the Air Force. And back in the late 80s, there were a series of Air Force experiments on airmen and so forth. And there was one experiment that went somewhat awry, and that's when my dad and the security police squadron of Lackland Air Force Base, and I can only say this now, my dad is retired, and I say this at somewhat risk to him, but I feel that the truth needs to come out. My dad and his squadron were called over to Brooks Air Force Base, which has now been closed, by the way, and an experiment on what is now known as Bigfoot, which had been captured by the U.S. military and brought to San Antonio. And they wanted to use it for some type of defense purposes, use the Bigfoot.
You mean as like a super soldier?
Exactly, exactly. But to do that, they had, because, I mean, obviously, no, a Bigfoot has strength beyond what a human has.
Sure.
So if you can think of the defense possibilities in this, an area of Brooks Air Force Base known as Area 52, is where they kept him. Mm-hmm. That part of Brooks Air Force Base has not been turned over to the civilian authorities of San Antonio. The rest has been redeveloped. But
To this day.
Now, I don't know why it has not been turned over, but if you go on Google Earth and search where Brooks Air Force Base was, you can see it's been redeveloped. But where Area 52 is, that's blacked out on Google Earth.
You know, it could be a zoning thing.
It could be a zoning thing, but it's an incredible coincidence.
They could be hiding something.
It could be hiding something still to this day. But I do know my dad came home, and he told me firsthand his encounters with the militarized Bigfoot. And that's the interesting thing about that, is when you hear Bigfoot tales, you rarely hear about the government involvement in Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you, I know firsthand from my dad, who saw it, that was a military plot, Bigfoot.
Did he ever tell you where they originally captured him before bringing him to the base?
No, because my dad was not involved in that aspect. But I do have a theory that he came from the Pacific Northwest. And this is why I have that theory. Because he also came at the same time that the Spurs made a trade for Detlef Schrempf. If you may remember him from
sure.
back in the late 80s.
Sure.
And it's just the coincidence of those two arriving at the same time,
mm-hmm.
both from the Pacific Northwest, is just a little bit too much. Because Detlef Schrempf, in my opinion, was not totally human. if you remember that player for the Spurs.
Absolutely. Played for the Mavericks. Yeah. In fact, was a Maverick draft choice.
Yeah, yeah.
The story makes too much sense. It's going to make too much sense for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And therefore, they're not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean the whole part about Google Earth blacking out a section of a former Air Force base in San Antonio that it has not been turned over to the civilian authorities, I mean, how do you explain that?
What do you think they're saving militarized Bigfoot for? Like, we didn't use him in the Middle East.
Well,
we didn't use him in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Now, granted, this story goes back to the 80s. So I think this was they were using it for the Cold War. For Siberia, for some type of Russian war.
Of course.
And when the USSR fell apart, that's when the program probably ended.
You would think that there would be a way to use his strength, perhaps his intelligence, outside of war. You know, why keep him under wraps for 30 years just because the Cold War ends? Can't you put him to use, you know, maybe he puts the star on top of the Christmas tree in Washington, D.C., the national tree, something like that.
You know, I just know my dad's encounter with him, and I think they just never got it under control, the militarized Bigfoot. They just never, ever were able to, you know, use it where it could take orders, where it could wear a uniform.
Sure. Who would make one that big?
I know. That's silly. That would just be silly to make one that big.
Do you think there's just one Bigfoot, or do you think there are many Sasquatches running around?
Well, in the wild, I think it's been documented, and it's well documented, that there are many in different parts of the country. What I think is not been documented is how many militarized Bigfoots there were, and I feel that there weren't very many at all. A small platoon at most.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really social creatures, ones that go in packs.
No.
So they're very solitary type of animals. And so it was almost, in my opinion, a waste of taxpayer dollars to try this program.
Well, that's a whole nother issue, right?
Yeah.
I find this interesting. Texas Bigfoot sightings. Commonplace in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 in 77. There were 2 in 78. Mm-hmm. There were 4 in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Then commonplace throughout the 80s. Some in the 90s. A few in the aughts, but we have not had an official Bigfoot sighting in this state since 2008. What's up with that? How weird is that?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Some might say it has something to do with the invention of the iPhone, and no one's able to, you know, ever since that came out, which is about 2008,
yep,
and everybody now has cameras and with them all the time, that the Bigfoot senses this and just is a lot more careful.
That makes total sense.
And they've always been a very tech-savvy type of animal.
I've heard they are 50 years ahead of us.
I would agree with that.
Maybe 55.
I would agree with that. And you'd also, you know, it's interesting, too, if you had a Bigfoot choose back in, like, the 90s between a PC and a Mac, I heard they would always choose a Mac.
No doubt.
But because they were so far ahead. They saw what was coming. They saw that the Windows phone would be half as popular as the iPhone.
Yeah. Do you think if you and I tried to break into Area 52... at what was Brooks Air Force Base, would we have a chance? Is it heavily guarded?
You know what? I think that would be a foolish endeavor. The Air Force does not leave stuff behind. They only pretend that it doesn't exist.
Right.
That's, if you think about, like, Edwards Air Force Base in Area 51 outside of Las Vegas, they pretend that that doesn't exist. Though you and I know more about it than they almost do.
Yes.
So, you know, Area 52 in San Antonio, I have to think that that is well protected, well guarded.
Even for someone like me, someone like you with our set of skills?
Well, you know, it's just you're talking about San Antonio, you're talking about the Air Force, you're talking about a town where...
We don't want to mess with it.
You don't want to mess with it. I mean, look... look who the NBA champions are. Look who their coach is. Look what his connection is to the military. A former Air Force officer, graduate of the Air Force Academy. Yep. Is that a coincidence?
Yep. Say no more. Say no more.
Is that a coincidence?
No. No, it's not. Boy, wow.
A lot to think about. A lot to think about.
Again, mind blown, right? Tonight here on the show. This has happened like 20 times in an hour and 20 minutes. I can't thank you enough for sharing that story.
Well, it's my dad's story, and he is retired now and getting late in his years. And mm-hmm. it's a story that I'm glad there's an avenue for me to share it.
It sounds like a book.
Well, it could be a book. I tried to share it on my my show one time, and I was suspended for a week.
I'll tell you what. If you write that book with your dad, and I think you should, come back on this show, and we'll help you promote the book.
All right. I will do that. I will do that as my pledge to you.
Hawkeye Lewis from the KSCS Morning Show, our sister station next door. Thank you. Enjoy the Bob Seger concert.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Wow. How about that? Is that enough for you? Let's see what the listeners have to say about that, perhaps sharing their own experiences as well as we go back to the phones. And west of the Rockies, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Junior, I have a story that will combine abduction and time travel.
I can handle it.
I'm a little leery of identifying myself, so just call me Tom and McKinney. I was abducted next month.
Okay.
And brought back.
Interesting. Continue.
My experience was completely surreal, and it's funny that you just talked with Hawkeye about Bigfoot, because Bigfoot was there. And it's odd because he has a very country accent. I mean, I would have thought that he was from some farm town around here. And he's actually not that tall. His feet are huge.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but, you know, he was like 5'9", maybe.
I've never heard that. In any encounter, Bigfoot is always in the 6'5 to 8'5 range.
I can only tell you what I saw, Junior. And he was wearing a Mavs jersey. It was with the foot was on the back. Number 26, I remember distinctly. Number 26, and the name was The Foot.
It's a very odd basketball number, but continue.
Well, he said, you know, The Foot. That was like his CB handle. And Tootsies, the driving cat, was there. And what Bigfoot and I, what we were forced to do was play Nintendo Tecmo Bowl. And
all right, I can tell that emotionally you're not able to tell this story at the present time, but I do thank you for your courage and calling. We have a listener who tweets and wants to talk about verdants. Anybody ever heard of the verdants? A retired Los Angeles Times reporter in 1999 said he had his first encounter with the verdants. They are a race of grays about 5 foot tall. They wear robes, and allegedly, they originate from a galaxy 14 million light years away. However, they are watching us from a giant ship that stays behind our moon, so we can never see them. They are a sexually reproducing population of 500 trillion individuals. Allegedly, the verdants live for thousands of years, and they currently inhabit 246,000 different planets. This is a reporter from the Los Angeles Times reporting this, not from the Quack Quack Daily. He reports that they have persuaded many other non-verdant planets to join under their umbrella, and that's what they want to do here. He says that they're watching us from behind our own moon. Now, how freaked out are you? Whew. I feel like we put a lot on your plate tonight. We got to the bottom of a lot of mysteries. We heard a lot of stories. We appreciate the contributions of Hawkeye, who just stopped in here. Belzar, the leader of the Martian people, who joined us in the first hour. all of the callers from east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, and even those on the wild card line. Thank you to John Fahey for producing tonight. Thank you so much for listening. We will do this again at a time of my choosing. Until then, I'm the Junes. Stay hard.